Okay, I think we'll start. Good afternoon and welcome to this press conference on the International Day of Biological Diversity. One of the major issues under discussion at the United Nations today is how to ramp up action to achieve the Millennium Development Goals and to generate momentum toward a new development agenda. Water is a MDG, a Millennium Development Goal, and a key issue in promoting sustainable development, and biodiversity is essential for providing clean, safe water. With me today is Braulio de Sousa Diaz, the Executive Secretary of the Convention on Biological Diversity. We're hoping that that Ambassador Regina Maria Cordeiro Dunlop, the Deputy Permanent Representative of Brazil, will join us, but we'll see. She might be tied up. But let me give the floor to Braulio, and you know.
Thank you. Good afternoon to all. So today is the International Biodiversity Day, and every year we try to raise awareness about the importance of biodiversity for all of us. The theme for this year is the links between biodiversity and water. So we are collaborating with a number of other UN agencies to look into the issue of how enhancing collaboration can provide better means to implement the agenda on water. So what we have been promoting is the idea that biodiversity is a key element for many of these discussions that are taking place here in New York in the UN about sustainable development, especially the discussion in the Open Working Group on Sustainable Development Goals, where a number of issues are being dealt with, like food security, water, land degradation, and others. And what we're trying to convey better is that the biodiversity agenda is not just about a problem. Yes, we have a problem. We're losing biodiversity very fast. And that will have consequences because we take it for granted. We depend on biodiversity for many, many things, and we're losing the capacity of the natural ecosystems to provide the goods and services which we count on for our daily lives. What we're trying to raise more now is not just this issue that, yes, we have a problem and we have to deal better with this problem, but that biodiversity is and should be seen as part of the solution for sustainable development. It's very easy to say, for example, that yes, we have to provide water for everyone. But how do we do it? How do we deliver such an objective? So the traditional way of doing things is to work in silos, isolated. So each of these agenda, food security, water, energy, poverty, eradication, etc., have been dealt in a somewhat isolated way. And all of these different agendas benefit from biodiversity and from ecosystem services. So, for example, the water issue, you know, here in New York, water that is served here in New York come from the Catskill Mountains, upstate New York. So instead of investing in costly facilities to treat the water, the city decided to make an arrangement with the rural communities in the Catskills to enhance the management of those lands, reduce the use of chemicals and other activities that could contaminate the water, and in so doing, that area provides New York with high quality of water in a much more sustainable way, in a much more cost-effective way. It's much cheaper. So we got to think beyond the traditional engineer solutions. So the engineers, if you ask them, they will tell you, oh, let's build another dam, let's build a canal, let's build a wall. So we have the problems with the Sandy hurricane here in New York not long ago, and it just demonstrated that even such a rich part of the country here, it's quite vulnerable to extreme climatic event. And the major damage was caused by the surge of water. So we have been developing our land use by covering the land with cement and other ways that we reduce the capacity of ecosystems to absorb the excess water. And so the outcome is more floods and more destruction of lives and infrastructure. So we have to look more to ecosystems as part of solution. So instead of just looking to these agenda items in isolation, what we're promoting is a more integrated view to deliver these sustainable development goals. So ecosystems can play an important role through their biodiversity and ecosystem service for food security agenda, for water agenda, for energy agenda, for poverty eradication agenda. And if we do that in a more integrated way, there could be cost savings. It could be more effective, so we could have more win-win solution that it's good for the environment, but it's good for the people, it's good for the economy. So that's the kind of message that we are hoping that could be delivered more to all the citizens. So I guess I'll stop here, and if you have any question. But and we have issued a booklet, which I will invite you to look at in the press briefing here. There's the link for that booklet that gives a number of very good examples on why biodiversity in water can be developed as win-win solutions. So thank you.
Okay. First question.
So on behalf of United Nations Correspondents Association, I'd like to welcome you to this press conference.
I represent Delhi Town of Pakistan. I just want to know from you, backdrop of Secretary General's statement, that we live in an increasingly insecure water world, and demand will far outstrip the supply. In 2000, Central Intelligence Agency issued a report that in another 10 or 15 years we'll be confronting water wars, that there will be nations will be fighting wars over water, which is a very dire sort of prediction and so forth. Do you think that prediction can come true, or the solutions that are being offered by you will somehow stem that?
I'm afraid that's a possibility, yes, because unfortunately we still, for the most part, keep business as usual. So, as you know, much of the way we do things in the past and still at present times are unsustainable. So this leads to further destruction of natural resources, of ecosystems, and this interrupts the natural cycles, so the water cycle, for example. In the past, when human populations were much smaller, the solution was to move on. So you destroy your natural resources in one area, and then you move on to another place where there's plenty of natural resources to exploit. Well, that solution is not available anymore. We're reaching the limits of the planet. That's the reality. And societies have to learn this, that they have to change the way they utilize natural resources to fit within the capacity of planet Earth. So I think we have solutions. So potentially, I think we can solve. I'm not a naive believer of technology. Some people think technology can solve any problem. So we cannot, we should not be too much concerned, because in the end, technology will find a solution. I'm not that comfortable with that kind of reasoning. I think we have to really change the way we're doing business, and I think we already have the solutions. The technical solutions, the technological solutions are there. The problem is that, and we have already a number of good initiatives everywhere, but these initiatives are still pilots. They are not the mainstream. So the challenge is, how do we benefit from the lessons learned, benefit from these solutions that were developed, and really upscale the implementation of these solutions, so we change our impact to nature. So we could avoid the issue of water supply getting worse and worse, and avoid future scenarios of war led by that situation.
This was being said in the backdrop of India and Pakistan, the CIA report at that time, that there is such shortage of supplies coming from Himalayas into, and Pakistan and India are basically sharing that water, and there are times when the relationship becomes so strained that it might become an issue. And now, slowly and slowly, it is becoming an issue. So you believe that your solution that you've been offering can work in the mainstream over there in these countries?
I'm hopeful. It's a uphill battle, because we have to convince people to change their minds, the way they do business. People are very reluctant to change the way they do things. So I'm hopeful that in a time of crisis, financial crisis, crisis of food, access to food, of water, will really make people rethink about how they do things. And issues like water requires collaboration among nations. Most nations are not self-sufficient in terms of water. So the solution requires collaboration at the international level.
Other questions?
What was the outcome in upstate New York? There was an issue between drilling for oil and protecting the water, this wonderful water supply that we have. Is there an outcome yet, or what do you see happening there and in instances like it? I'm sure there are many more.
And as we have this conflict here close by, we see this everywhere. So there are conflicts of demands, conflicts of land use everywhere. Very often there is an asymmetry in terms of the information provided for the decision making. Very often you see some sectors well organized and providing information about the benefits of this strategy, this path, or this option in terms of land use. But very often you see that there's disregard or insufficient information about the broader implications of some of these decisions to other services, ecosystem services or goods that we depend on ecosystems. So it's a common theme that we see everywhere, that very often governments make decisions based on short-sighted information provided by corporate organizations, and not informing well the whole community about the broader implications or the options. And I think that's part of the issue. We need better information and more transparency about the information provided, especially as it relates to the impacts on ecosystems, and then how that impact on the ecosystem translates to impact to society. Because it's also a common thing that most people living in cities don't appreciate fully how dependent we are on ecosystem services. So it's an ongoing debate, so look forward to...
Come up with for making the public aware, making the public want to become aware of the background that leads to better use of land use and water and stuff?
Well, we have to discuss more what we mean by sustainability, how we can, one of the concepts we're discussing is more sustainable and resilient landscapes. So instead of just discussing this issue of sustainability sector by sector, how can we look at a broader landscape and see how that landscape can deliver multiple goods and services in terms of provision of water, food, energy, etc. So I think we need that kind of broader vision and a more integrated look at these issues to really appreciate the real challenges ahead of us. And I think the issue of climate change, with the prospect of increased occurrence of extreme events, so more frequent, more stronger, it really calls for a whole redesign of land use in urban area and in rural areas. So it's a huge challenge before us. So just like here in New York after Sandy, well, there are people discussing again, well, let's build a wall, a concrete wall to protect against water surge from the sea. Well, that's very costly answer, and probably not the most effective answer. So I think, again, we should look at different options, see what is more cost-effective, what is more sustainable in the end.
Okay, other questions? Yes.
With the demand for fresh water resources increasing, what concrete steps is the country of Brazil taking to build better water futures for their cities?
Good question. Well, Brazil is blessed with good rainfall in most of the country. But even so, there is an issue of access to water in different places. So there's always a geographic mismatch between where we have more water and where there's more demand. So one of the big initiatives in Brazil in recent past has been to reduce deforestation. And since 2005, there has been about 80% reduction in the rate of deforestation in Brazil, which is great. It's a great achievement. And that was managed because different sectors were called to participate. So it's not just an answer from the environment sector, but the agriculture, the planning, the energy, all these sectors have been contributing with their own policy instruments. And we have a balance of incentives and so carrots and the whip. So we need a balance of both. We have a number of measures in Brazil which are in the Forest Code of Brazil, which received a lot of attention from the media last year because of the contentious discussions in the Brazilian National Congress to review this forest code. And one of the main elements of the forest code is that it has minimal environmental requirements for each private property in terms of conservation of forests and other natural ecosystems, especially along rivers, in catchment areas, and high slope. So this is something very important to reduce the vulnerability of the country to extreme events and help with the infiltration of water in the soil and help maintain the availability of water. Not only for drinking water, but a country like Brazil depends a lot on hydropower for its energy. Most of Brazil's electricity comes from hydropower. And as you know, the dams need to receive water so that they can produce the energy. So there's a direct link there. And the largest hydropower plant in Brazil, which is called Itaipu, which is in the border between Brazil and Paraguay. It's the largest hydropower producing plant in the world. It's the biggest. It has a huge program to working with the small-scale agricultures upstream to restore degraded ecosystems along the reservoir and along the rivers that contribute to the reservoir. It's a huge program, and I think quite successful, because they realized that unless they did that, the siltation that was coming from erosion upstream was reducing the longevity of the hydropower plant because it was reducing the capacity of the reservoir to accumulate water. So it's these links that are important for us to recognize.
Yes.
Okay, so if business continues as usual, thank you. I'm sorry, Favcon Giselle, South News. If business continues as usual, I think we're all very much aware that business continues as usual because countries and private sector benefit, gain from it monetarily and in terms of power, of course. And so there are these issues that you mentioned. Some countries are at least today sitting comfortably, and other countries already have water scarcity. So how can political will and private sector partnership and, of course, other partners be incentivized, of course, to make money because that's what everyone wants to do and to have a sustainable future? Where is that common denominator of understanding, education, training, partnership? How does it all come together?
Right. Well, it's a big challenge, and I think we have to work with public policies to create an enabling environment with incentives. And in many countries, we don't see that. So the current public policies are just stimulating business to continue the business as usual approach. Then we also need to work with the consumers. So consumers need to take a better stance on this. So unfortunately, in many places, consumers don't see themselves as part of the problem, as part of the issue. They just blame the governments or they blame the private corporations. But they are the ones that, in the end, can influence this. So through their consumer, the options they make in term, as consumers, who they give preference, what kind of product, if there is any information about the how sustainable is the sourcing for that kind of product that they are consuming in terms of wood products or food products or the use of water, etc. So that can be very, very powerful. And then, of course, the private companies themselves. So under the convention, we started 6 years ago an initiative on engaging the private sector. So it's called the Business and Biodiversity Initiative. So we have a website, we have magazines, we have been organizing a number of meetings. In December 2011, we launched in Tokyo a global platform for business and biodiversity, and we have been inviting countries to organize such platforms at the country level to bring together private organizations to share more information about how to deal with these environmental challenges and how to share more information of the why it is in their own interest to change. So it's the business case. So especially for those companies that plan well in advance, their planning is not just for the short term. They are making big changes because they see that to continue to get a permit from governments to access to natural resources, including water, they need to do better. To get funding from the banks and to have lower insurance costs, they also need to do better. And then to have access to market where consumers are becoming more stringent about their requirements. So we see this happening in many sectors, in some sectors more than others. So we're trying to promote that. And in some countries, we see this happening very strong, as in Japan, as in Canada, Germany, in Brazil. We see a lot of very good initiatives starting that have been started in the private sector.
Okay, any other questions? All right, well then thank you very much for coming. And the media advisory is in the back that has the links to the booklet and also any other information on the day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.